You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copper 9 here. You might not know who I am, but I've got nothing better to do. So watch with Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link, do
that'll
something.
Do, that'll perfect. Do. Perfect.
Hi, Bobby! Vámonos!
Let's go!
Let us do it! Let us do the damn thing! That's right. Welcome.
This is how we start the Premier League show. I know everyone's like, what happened to the, yeah, baby? Nah, son, it's iBobby.
Okay, this is, this is the spinoff, all right? We got to remix it a little bit, all
right? Right, we trying to let Europe know what we about, okay? Because we know that they're listening heavy to this kind of stuff.
Exactly, we see.
They're all up in our mentions, you know what I mean? Trying to see what we do different, why we're so special.
Yeah, that means that when we see some fine English dude walking around, we catcall him by saying, iBobby. Let's go.
No one's safe. You heard? Everyone's getting catcalled.
Okay. I see some fine gingers in this sunless you know? Country.
Yo, toehead with the blonde hair and a pearlescent white skin. Where'd you get that lack of melanin, my dude?
Oh, okay. I see you out there. Okay. You know, I see you because you are quite reflective.
Right. It's actually hard not to see you, is the point I'm trying to make.
Look at this. This is what we do. We bully the English on this show. That's what
could be better?
Welcome to the Prem Show. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest Premier League show in the world.
Yep, and it's also the gulliest Premier League show. And also, we talk about whatever the hell we want.
Exactly. And this show is taped live on Twitch. People that are hanging out with us in the Twitch chat are very much a part of the show. So if you are listening to this podcast and you want to be a part of the experience, follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/soccercooligans.
Our chat is lit. Like, Crimson Pizza just asked, does gringo come from ginger? Yo, maybe.
I do not believe it does. I forgot where it comes from exactly.
I don't think there's like a defined reason, or at least I've never heard of one.
Philly 4C, thank you for the follow on here. I don't know where. Please let us know where it comes from. I don't know the, what is etymology?
People are saying it's green go. What, when people talk about traffic lights? White people who talk about traffic lights too much in Latin America?
I'm pretty sure it just came from, like, you know, the, what you call it, like, either settlers or
it had to come
conquerors
from army.
Or something. It's something not good, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's something from an army. Yeah.
Probably.
It comes from the green uniforms the U.S. military used to wear. That's what Nixter Nipple is saying.
Okay. All right. Well, Nixter Nipple is...
it's up to you to trust a guy named Nixter Nipple or not.
There's no reason why we should not trust.
I'm not saying we shouldn't.
Yeah. Okay. It came from a regular station in Latin America. Okay. Yeah. I can see that. Makes sense.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, none of this is confirmed, but I accept all of it.
Okay, because our Twitch chat is, you know, we got attorneys in here, all right?
We got attorneys that be wearing leopard print skirts. What you know about that?
Exactly, okay? Your Honor, okay? I mean business today.
Mike Wonder said, my Mexican friends told me, man, cool guy. Sight. Hey,
good one, all right? Keep those friends around is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're good friends, yo.
Obviously we're going to be talking about some Premier League news. Obviously the Champions League final, the Champions League, one of the quarterfinal matches.
The word final's in there somewhere.
Oh, my God, die. Thank you for the sub.
Oh, my God, die.
Oh, my God. The match between Atalanta and PSG went down to the wire. I didn't think PSG was going to, pull it out, but they did.
I said PSG was going to win, and people called me crazy. And for about 93 minutes, I thought I was crazy.
So yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that match, and some news going on in the Premier League. But the people that are with us on Twitch in the chat will very much be a part of the show. Feel free to bring up subjects, and we will talk about them on the podcast. All right, we got a lot of information about where the word gringo comes from. I mean,
I think we got a copy paste from Wikipedia. Okay.
Look, this is Christian didn't think PSG was going to pull out. Thought they'd impregnate Atalanta. Okay, you look. I mean, well, are we going to focus on every single word that I say? You know, I mean, are we? Is this? I didn't know we were doing a stream for 13-year-olds.
I'm just happy that Christian is being corrected because it's normally
I
mean, me.
I didn't say anything incorrect. I just...
No, but it feels like it, okay? Let me get a W right here.
Okay, so let's start with that that match, all right? Atalanta loses 2-1 to PSG, but PSG gets both their goals in extra time or in stoppage time. And yeah. If the game was tied, would it have gone straight to penalties? What's the rules in Champions League? Do they do extra time at all?
I think they do extra time, and then after the two extra times, it's penalties.
Okay. People saying, I thought Christian specifically talks to 14-year-olds. We do not need this being out in the world. Yes,
that is a callback, by the way, folks.
Another callback.
You got to watch our Twitch.
To my FIFA coach, the teenage British kid, Reese Ford, 2069. All right. I am sorry. He was the only one who offered help on the stream, and he was coaching me. Anyway.
Yeah, so all of you should be ashamed that you made Christian have to talk
to a
14-year-old.
Stop making me feel bad. He was very helpful, and I'm playing so well on FIFA Ultimate Team now, to the point where I think this weekend I might do Weekend League for the first time. So you need to put some respect on Resport 2069.
So I hope him and his friends are off detention or whatever's happening, and that they can help you.
Okay, so PSG when they score, I believe in like the 92nd and like 94th or something like that. This game was look, every time PSG plays, and the only time people ever watch them is in Champions League. Nobody cares about the Ligue 1,
right? French league is practice for Champions League. That's all it is. In fact, I'm sure in the French league, if they were playing, they would have called their opponent. Tuchel's like, do me a favor, could you guys play a little more like Atalanta? We're just trying to get a bit of training under our belts.
Tuchel, he has that leg injury, right? I don't know what did he. You know, he has, I don't know if he rolled an ankle. I don't know what the injury was, but he has a boot.
He's got a full medical boot up to the knee.
Yeah. And he's, he was like sitting on a cooler. Like he's at a barbecue.
Bielsa. Like, remember Bielsa used to do that? He would sit on the cooler.
What's in that cooler?
Bruh.
Why are you hiding in that cooler?
No, officer, I don't have to get up unless you have a warrant.
all the tactics are in that cooler, apparently.
Yeah, it's too hot.
But I think the difference was made when Mbappe came to this game. Once Mbappe got on, I was also kind of shocked there as well, because you saw he rolled his ankle, what, like 2 weeks ago? After a tackle that
and he was going full bore too. Like he wasn't working his way into the game. He was like, yo, let me in. Here's the thing. It seemed like as soon as Mbappe came in, they were so scared about him on the wing, especially with his ability to get behind the defender.
He was burning fools, bro.
Dog. Yo, they were like, all right, we'll sit back. And that gave Neymar all the space he needed to be a playmaker.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the change of the game. Also, I don't know why Atalanta all of a sudden started playing wild defensive or playing any defense at all in the second half. Like, what are you doing?
I think
your whole
thing
is to burn forward.
I mean, it is. It's tough. I mean, look, Neymar didn't have the best game in the world, but he's still Neymar. He was still – this is I get frustrated watching PSG sometimes because they play like they're playing in Ligue 1, right? With like a 40-point lead in first place. And it's like,
yeah.
Bro, you cannot be going for nutmegs and going for back heels.
This is when you got to step it up.
this is the real league now. Now you're in a and so there was a lot of that. Like Neymar is still magic, bro. Like he was unbelievable. Yeah,
Neymar. People forget.
Was he doing too much? Yes, but it And this is a lot of times, you know, when Neymar's not not on Barcelona or not playing, you know, with Brazil or whatever, for the most part, you get that feeling like he feels like he probably has to do more, or like he doesn't really trust his teammates. It's like Neymar plays like he's a designated player on an MLS team. Like he's like,
yeah,
well,
he plays like Nani plays in the final.
He's like, I got to do it because these other guys that are also making millions of dollars can't do it, right?
Yeah, you've seen these other folks, right? Like I'll take care of it. I mean, but the thing I think that set PSG apart from Atalanta, besides the billions of dollars on the field that they've spent to acquire these players, it's just that, like, Atalanta being down, who? I mean, I know they've scored the most, but they don't look like a team that's prepared to play defensive and be down. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense.
They're either gunning forward or they're just, like, sitting back and holding on to the lead. I thought they were going to work it out. I thought Tuchel was going to get fired. I thought this whole thing was going to go down. But
yeah, I mean, no. It's the narrative from everyone is like, even before the game, is like, Neymar has to win this game. Otherwise, his legacy is done, right?
Like, which I kind of get. Like, if he did, like Jimmy Conrad tweeted, he left Barcelona to, like, stop being in what's-his-face's shadow.
Messi's shadow.
In Messi's shadow. So, like, yeah, I kind of agree. Like, you got to step it up. You got to kind of do it now, you know?
Yeah, so the FIFA degenerate says the key is Mbappe, not Neymar. And in this game, I thought that was obvious. And Neymar, you know, the ball that he left for the second goal that led to I forgot who scored. But the
Choupo-Moting.
Is it Choupo-Moting or Choupo-Moting? Isn't it Choupo?
Is it? It's Choupo.
Choupo-Moting, you know? Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Choupo. Also, that ball that Neymar left off for Mbappe is Choupo. Yes, of course. Our chat is.
I think these are all high school.
It's a high school. This is basically where the Cooligans Twitch chat is basically detention. All right,
this is the best. We got summer school happening in our chat right now. Also, not so cool, Andrew, put Alexis just what's his face Messi. Y'all know who I meant. y'all know exactly who I meant.
Oh my god, that's right. The bad kids. That's right. So funny. So yeah, the
so anyway, so Choupo-Moting scored the last goal, which hey, is look, the goal.
Let's get the etymology on Choupo-Moting. You know, is there any Wikipedia entries for that? You know?
What did the soldiers do?
Scooby the Goon, thank you for the subscription. Appreciate it. So look, clearly, as soon as the responsibility was taken off of Neymar to either score that tying goal, it was they excelled. And Mbappe's just so good. It's just so ridiculous that you know, I don't even know it. I get mad that he's on PSG. It's weird that PSG is they're a good team. They have a lot of great players, but there's something about the mentality of the team and just
imagine LAFC built themselves up to like a Galacticos and just had incredible players. You'd watch that and be like, that's great, but it's kind of a shame that they're kind of stuck out on this island where they can't be a part of like a bigger league where you can't really with confidence watch PSG week in and week out and think you're going to get a great, you know, a great match.
They're just not because they're playing
farmers.
Well, they're not a good Champions League team. That's really all it is, right? That's why, I realistically, you see that lineup and they should demolish Atalanta. But Atalanta has admittedly, I've not been watching a ton of Atalanta matches, but I saw some of their Champions League matches earlier, and they were surprising everyone. And I was like, I wasn't exactly sure what I was witnessing or necessarily style of play or anything. I'm just like, yo, this team is in a mode where they believe in themselves, and you know, for a team that's not regularly like in the conversation of like Champions League, you know, or top four in Serie A, it was impressive to watch. But still, PSG.
Yeah, I mean,
it's PSG.
This is the thing. Yeah, it is PSG. But if you play the way Atalanta plays, you know that at one point you're going to hit a wall. That's not a style of play that wins championships, typically. Like, even Bielsa style or Sampaoli style, at some point, is not as sort of reckless as the way Atalanta plays. And I think you saw that in the second half when they played defensively, which is not their thing, and probably why they lost, because every player on that team was like, you want us to do what? We're going to stop them from scoring? All right, I guess we could try.
True Red, thank you for the follow.
Shouts to you, True Red.
Yeah, look, I think when it comes to... Look, I don't know if necessarily that style of play is not good enough to win. I wouldn't say it's not good enough to win games overall, but Champions League, there's just something different about it, right? Where this is why the teams that just have there's a different mentality of that tournament, and you need a couple just straight up highlights. You need someone that's going to just light it up. This is why Cristiano Ronaldo... got like a standing O after the bicycle kick against Juve because
he got a
there's
standing
just
orgasm. That's impressive.
Wait, what happened?
I said he got a standing orgasm. That's impressive.
Yeah, that's what that means. Everybody knows that. I'm just using the term standing O and referring to an orgasm, as everyone knows except me.
100%. I think, by the way, not so called Andrew, but Cooligan's drinking game, Sampaoli mentioned, drink. Well, you're going to die if you try to listen to this show and do that. Here's the thing. I think Champions League, a league of champions, is just, other than the group stage, which is still kind of like teams figuring each other out, when you get to these group stages, you don't have the chance to make even a small mistake. So when it comes to a team like Atalanta, you've already gotten further than everyone expected. PSG, you losing this match, everyone's like, bravo to you, standing ovation. PSG loses this match. There's newspapers around the world writing about people getting fired and who doesn't deserve to be here.
Those were ready to hit enter and publish.
They were already written. It's like how, like old people, like old famous people already write their obituaries. That's exactly what happened. The PSG reporters were like, nah, I got this on deck. I copied and pasted from a couple articles last year. changed the manager's name from an article I wrote four years ago.
PSG fully deserved, no doubt. If you're going to condemn PSG for choking, you must praise them for today.
But this isn't exactly, who did they beat? They beat a team that basically no one expected to be here. I was going to say doesn't deserve. They certainly deserve it. But no one expected to be here. That's not something you hang your hat on. There's no parade for PSG.
Yeah.
PSG is built to win this thing. Go win this thing, and then you get the credit.
Yeah.
And Atalanta, so far, has already upped their value higher than you've proven your value.
It's just, look, when it comes to Champions League, I just feel like PSG is not good enough. I mean, like, they
I disagree with you. I think they're good enough.
They have great players. I'm not taking anything away from the individual quality. It's just as
a
team.
And a great manager.
It's like it's having in MLS standards, it would be like, yeah, if having LAFC in the USL, like, they would, when as soon as they went to CONCACAF Champions League, it would be like they would have some trouble, but they would dominate the league that they're in. I just feel
so. Let's be honest, PSG's real league is the Champions League. It's not Ligue 1.
Yes.
So you got to win. So now you got to win because this is what you're built for. So you're not going to get the credit until you hoist it. And when you do, you get all the credit in the world.
Yeah.
But you got to hoist it.
And so, yeah, PDFC said this is PSG's best, like probably best chance. Atletico, RB Leipzig in the semis. I think they're going to struggle. Even whoever they play against next, there's nothing. A Bundesliga team, I could see them.
RB Leipzig might not give them a problem, but Bayern would give them problems.
So it would be Atletico Madrid, which I don't think they'll score against Atletico. That's how I feel.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if you struggle to score against Atalanta, I don't know what.
You got some. But I think hopefully they realize, and also they've been off for a lot longer, but hopefully they realize you can't just stroll in and play them the same way you would Nantes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, you gotta come correct.
So, I mean, what the next Champions League match is tomorrow, RB Leipzig against Atletico, and then Friday it'll be Barcelona-Bayern, which is, it's going to be a heater. It's going to be dope.
It's going to be fire.
So a lot to look forward to there. I like this... This you know, single elimination.
I like it so much better. I put it as one of the topics. What do we think in the chat? Let us know. And obviously, if you're listening, shoot us a tweet or something while you're listening. Let us know. What do we think about the single game elimination versus the home and away? I love this. I think you do group stage, go right into single game elimination for the knockout stages.
Nah, it's too much money. They'll never do it. It's way too much money.
What if you increase the amount of teams in the knockout stages? Add another round. Boom.
Okay, done. Look, Nickster Nipple says single game stinks. Then right after that, Jaren says single game rules. So
we figured it out. By the way, can we give credit to Christian taking what I said, thinking about it quietly for about 3 seconds, and just going, done? Like, not even arguing with me. We have a podcast, folks.
There's no
point. We're trying to have a conversation. I think if you add another round, the round of 16, right? So that would be an additional 2 matches times 8. That's another 16. Another 16 teams that would essentially play into that round.
Yeah, Kolobanka said, then what is the point of the group stage, Alexis?
It's to get one person out of each group out, essentially.
MRC Turner, thank you so much for the follow. Appreciate
it. What if we add more teams to the group stages? Yo, what if we get rid of all the leagues and just do a Champions League?
Okay, now you sound like UEFA, bro. Nice.
I don't know what happened to you, but my apartment just filled with money. Okay, as I said
Let's just watch 38 matches of Barcelona Real Madrid. How about that?
Right. You throw in a Juventus versus Bayern in there for all the fringe fans.
Okay, and how about we throw Atalanta off a cliff? Okay.
Oh, honestly, welcome to the Canadian Premier League, Atalanta.
Okay. Yes, all your games are away. You deal with it.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Have you heard of Saskatchewan?
Yes, Alexis is a European Super League truther. I think so.
Apparently. I mean, I added one more round and it just immediately became a Super League.
Jay Looper, thank you so much for the follow. Again, if people are new here, feel free to put topics in the chat. We're talking Premier League, we're talking Champions League, anything European soccer. So let's move on. So there's a couple...
So wait, do you like the single game elimination?
I do like it, but... There's something to the home and away that does provide some like miracles. Obviously, the PSG Barca, obviously Liverpool Barca. It's always Barca involved in some way with some miraculous.
You can say Barca every 5 words,
miraculous loss or miraculous win. I don't know. I like both. I don't know. It's hard to say what I like better.
You're for the single game elimination in the MLS playoffs.
Yeah. But I like these the ambiance of watching both teams play home and away, that each of their fans gets to watch their team play against these big teams. That is more significant to me than this circumstance that we're in now, where everybody has to play this. You know, it's just more convenient to have the single game elimination. But if you do the single game elimination for the knockout rounds, then
for the knockout rounds, just for entirety of the knockout rounds,
it would require teams either flying in every time to a central location, because you can't have the game at a home stadium because it's unfair.
Yeah, Diego 2001 put Alexis gets a knock on the door and now owns half the Caribbean, the Caribbean leagues via anonymous donor, cough, UEFA. hell yeah.
MRC Turner X says, Scotland football? We can talk about Scottish football if you would like to.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about it, but if there's something interesting.
Celtic plays there. Next question. We got asked, and I can't find it, but do we like, I think this is Felix Palau. Do we like Copa Libertadores or Champions League more?
Oh, that was FIFA Degenerates.
Here's the thing. I love Copa Libertadores because it's just, it's exactly how you would imagine South America versus England to be. It's way more hectic, way wilder. The fans are insane. The music is insane. You're not allowed to touch the trophy beforehand or else you're cursed, even though that didn't work last year. There's just so much more involved where I actually think Copa Libertadores, if more people knew more than maybe the top six clubs that play in that every year, it would be a much bigger competition than the Champions League. The difference is that there's better players in the Champions League.
Yeah, that's a. I mean, that's my why I would pick UEFA Champions League, just simply out of, you know, Libertadores, especially during the later rounds, can get. It's just wild. I mean, like you see the fouls, you see these tackles. Sometimes you're
it's
like,
insanity.
What is this? What are the rules different in this continent?
No one feels safe. I'm not comfortable for the players. I'm not comfortable for the refs. The fans are on top of each other. There's fencing. It's no one feels safe in Copa Libertadores.
Yeah.
But like you know, like when I play FIFA, I try my hardest not to play with 5-star teams. You know what I mean? Because the teams you tend to play against online just aren't as fun. You don't get matched up with fun clubs. That way, you know, it's all the same. It's the same six clubs you're constantly playing with. As if I play as Arsenal, I'm always going to play Barca or Real Madrid or Manchester United, or you know, it's all the same. When you play with like a 3-star club, you get to find all these new clubs you've never heard of, and it's a little bit harder to win. It's the same reason why I think it's more fun to watch Copa Libertadores, but there's just no comparing Champions League. Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. You being Gully Squad. Thank you.
You right now listening.
you've contributed to this marketing campaign.
That's right. Thank you so much. And if you're listening and you're not in Gully Squad, I'm not going to say it's not thanks to you. I think you already know that. But you can. This can be thanks to you. All you got to do is join Gully Squad. It's mad simple. You know what I mean? Because what happens is you join Gully Squad, and guess what happens? We show up at your house. We said we don't care about the quarantine, you know what I mean? We show up at your house and we say, yo, thank you, and then that's it. We leave. It's very odd.
we break lockdown rules. That's how committed to you we are.
Uh-huh. Right? Where you live in Europe? Be there in a few hours, my guy.
Okay. Yo, Boris, open up the borders.
Yo, Latvia? All right. I might have to use points, but we're gonna get there.
Okay, we're un-Brexiting right now.
We've decided. We're here. What's good? Is this Europe or not? Yeah.
So, yes, join Gully Squad. Obviously, there's a lot of awesome perks and privileges. Obviously, we have
the hesitation you put on perks, man. Even I was like, ooh, what do we got?
You can obviously the our Slack channel, our birthday parties, dope Zoom hangouts. It has it all. So
yeah, and pins and pop sockets and you know cool stuff. It's just one of those things. Like, yo, you're supporting us. It doesn't matter the level. You're gonna get some dope perks. You're gonna get a chance at exclusive content. You're gonna get a chance to hang out, chat with us. And yo, like the Slack channel, it's almost like just a big group chat. There's like people sharing food to do on the road once we get back on the road, people sharing pictures of the food they're cooking while they're on quarantine, people sharing pictures of pizza and I'm roasting it. We do other stuff than food, don't we, Christian?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, there's people sharing music that they enjoy. It's its own community of soccer fans that appreciate comedy and appreciate other things in life that they can share with each other, and it's really growing into something that's organic, that is not really about Christian and Alexis, and it's beautiful to see. So
I know it's bothering me. It should constantly be about us, but also they get a chance to be a part of the show. When we have guests, we ask them, what questions should we ask? When we say those are Gully Squad questions, yo, those are questions directly from that Slack channel from Gully Squad. So if you're a member of the Gully Squad and you're not in the Slack channel, get on that. What are you doing? There's exactly. Not a lot of you. There's like a few of you that
There's a few. There's almost like, I think maybe 30 or 40 people that are not in the Slack channel.
What a handful of people. Come on, get in here.
Get in there. So yeah, again, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and get on board, man, because you're missing out.
Hell yeah. Soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad.
Let me ask this question, and I'll pose it to everyone in the chat as well. Do you think that MLS is catching up, or might even, I'll say this, are they, do you think MLS is a tactically better league than the clubs that in are that are in Libertadores, or just in like CONMEBOL and stuff like that, like the those and some of the other CONCACAF leagues? Do you think MLS not even CONCACAF, just CONMEBOL, do you think MLS is a tactically stronger league than the CONMEBOL leagues? Because I feel like that's
so far we're getting no's, and MLS has a bit of weight.
Because I just feel like it's messy. Wrong. It's you know, and not Lionel Messi. It is just a mess sometimes.
Yes.
I think this is why you're seeing more Argentinian players, Uruguayan players come to MLS, because it's not looking
100%.
As they respect the league a little bit more from top to bottom.
Here's the thing: individual skills are higher in CONMEBOL. Team tactics are better in MLS.
Okay.
There's better coaching in MLS overall on an average. Because if you watch these South American leagues, part of it's like, is there a net that I don't see in the middle and they're playing volleyball here? Like, it's just constant back and forth, back and forth.
And because
of major mistakes, goals get scored. Whereas in MLS, it seems like there's more of a buildup.
Yeah, so Jaron is mentioning, I thought it was safer and more likely to get paid, which is true. That is a reason why players go. But we're seeing it's just more common in general. It's not like, you know, necessarily like Argentina is just, a third world country. It's not that either.
No.
But when it comes to, I just think South Americans are respecting MLS tactically more now than they ever were. That's all I'm saying. Especially when, you know, you're seeing, their countrymen kind of playing the league. So
Mr. MRC Turner says, no, lies. You have to understand, watch your average South American game. I'm not talking about your Bocas. I'm not talking about your Peñarols, although they're kind of crazy too. I'm not talking about the clubs that you know and love that have a significantly high standard across the board. Watch, you know, the strongest versus, you know, Comunicaciones, all right? And tell me that that's way not more tactically, varied. Yeah. Than your average MLS match. MLS matches tend to have more systems in place, at least visually. And maybe it's because there isn't the individual brilliance that you have in some South American clubs where they feel like, who cares? Just get the ball to Pedro. Pedro's going to do something incredible with it. We ain't got a Pedro in MLS. Maybe that's it.
We need Pedros.
Buddy, we're going to – the Pedro allocation money. We got Pams, bro.
Nick Sternipple said, Christian and Alexis, go read Age of Football. Alexis is not going to read anything. Don't ever.
No, read it to me.
They dedicate four whole chapters why South American leagues are selling their players to Europe and North America, which I understand. I know there's a lot more involved. Like, obviously, the currency in Argentina and in South America is like inflated? Is it essentially?
There's a lot of inflation, but it's way more erratic.
Yeah. So I get the politics of it as well, but I also do think that there's less disrespect towards MLS as far as tactically. Whether you could feel however you feel about it, I'm sure we have English people that are like, oh, blah, blah, MLS is never blah blah blah. Whatever. Okay, yeah. You know, it's what we got. What are we gonna do anyway?
Colo Blanco said, "Ass total soccer show. Boom, solved. Thank you."
They will.
Less research I have to do.
This is one of the topics we had, one of the Premier League subjects. This was interesting. So apparently the winner of, and coincidentally, we had a Premier League fantasy league, right? And the winner is actually in the chat right now. It's not SoCal Andrew won, but obviously when the league had stopped because of the lockdown, it just, you know, we all just stopped paying attention to it. Not Andrew. He kept going.
He kept changing his clubs, cheating, as I like to call it.
Kept updating his roster and the whole thing, but won the thing. But apparently the winner of the Fantasy Premier League for 2019-2020.
In total, the actual winner of the whole thing.
Which is like amongst, you know, probably like 7 million participants, was denied victory. They just did not...
They deleted it.
They deleted the...
Do you know why?
I don't know why. What happened?
He was in a chat room, and I believe it's a chat attached to the Premier League website, and apparently he made disparaging remarks, and I'm assuming racist remarks, about Raheem Sterling.
Oh. Okay.
So they just straight up deleted his account, but man was number one. And they deleted him.
Well,
and number two got the prize. You know? Which, if you're that dude, you're like, yo, it's lit.
Thank you, racism. Yeah, that's
racism is terrible. I'm not going to say it hasn't helped me in some weird way. Now, hear me out.
So pretty incredible. This is so good on from you know the Premier League for doing this. It was a breach of terms. You know, there is a no tolerance, whether you can't be racist at the games, and you can't even be racist in fantasy. So
yeah, dog. I mean, even in a fantasy world, you're not allowed to be racist. Keep that in mind. If that's your fantasy is to be racist, that you don't get that, which Jaron is right. It's wild because for that guy to win, he probably had been playing Raheem Sterling, which is just wild.
Well, that doesn't. Yeah, that's like the you know, it feels a little bit like the shut up and dribble type of folks, which is.
Here's my thing is if I just don't understand. You know, what is it about Raheem Sterling that he just constantly has to deal with this? You know, they talk shit when he buys his little sister like an expensive gift. They make fun of him when all he does is wear H&M and becomes a spokesperson for them. Yeah. You know, and he wears sensible clothing as opposed to wildly expensive designer stuff. You should be making fun of these, you know, soccer stars running around in D squared. That is the most horrific brand of all time. It's the gaudiest shit on earth.
What? That's I'm not familiar with, like, I've heard of the brand, but what specific things do they make? Is there anything like any signature items?
Everything that they make is like Ed Hardy for this era, you know? It's just like wildly, it's like not bedazzled, but like ugly and big.
Okay.
And everything is like double and triple screen printed. There's a lot of dragons. You know what I mean? It's just disgusting. It's horrific. And I've only ever seen soccer players wear it. I've never seen a human being outside of a professional soccer player in Europe wear it. But what I'm trying to say is I don't get what is Raheem Sterling's, what does he do?
You know, it's
why does he piss y'all off so much?
Yeah, Felix Palau's making the point. He's outspoken and he stands up for what he believes. And that is an easy way to get on the, you know, the bad side of I guess journalists or whatever. It doesn't make any sense, but I do appreciate that it has been being called out, the you know, that hypocrisy of and him being targeted all the time for like really really dumb you know, whether it's, you know, articles or whatever. It's just like it gets to the point where like, all right, now it gets to the point where it's difficult to even respect journalism, right? Because it's like, why are you taking your time to focus on this guy who is doing nothing but thriving? He is doing well. He represents
English,
his club in
English
a classy
journalism
way.
Is like, especially when it comes to soccer, it's journalism is in quotes because they'll attack soccer players for every little thing. They talk about them when they go to the store. They talk about them if they have problems at home. Everything gets talked about. Everything is fodder for the Premier League journalists, quote unquote. But there's just something different about the way Raheem Sterling is handled. And he actually showed that. Like when, you know, I think he bought a family member a home and they ripped that apart. Yeah. And he showed like, look, when it's a problem with a white player or when it's a white player does something, it's different than when he does something. I just don't get it. But shouts to Premier League for deleting this guy, because I'm not sure how many people would have seen or heard about that had they not brought it to light.
Yeah.
They could have very easily let this thing sweep under the rug or just wait and given this guy his prize. I'm very, very glad and very happy that they decided to not let that happen.
Aussie AB says the contrast of him versus Rashford in the press is interesting. Yeah, look, we're not in England, so we don't know.
I think the difference is that Rashford is like very English and Raheem Sterling still considers himself like a little Jamaican.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is he too black for the Premier League? Is it one of those things? Like it's like it feels like they're reaching. You know, it feels like they're trying so hard to find something bad about this guy. And I'm like, just seems like an upstanding gentleman to me. I have no idea.
I think it's like that people view Raheem Sterling as maybe a, I don't know. I'm guessing just from like the commentary, because the commentary against Raheem Sterling reminds me of a lot of how like some older white Arsenal fans feel towards like troops. You know what I mean? Maybe Raheem Sterling is like a little hood. I don't know. I don't know if he is. That little bit of street, that little bit of road kind of annoys, you know, sets off these like older suburban, whatever the equivalent to like an old fuddy-duddy is in England. You know what I mean?
Raheem Sterling to me seems like a pretty shy dude. He seems kind of quiet, pretty to himself.
Definitely not an individual.
I can understand why people would not like troops, right? It at least makes sense. I'm comparing it, which is why I made the comparison,
because it's like, they're nothing. I mean, they don't come to market the same way, you know? You know, I've never heard Raheem Sterling say, like, I play for Manchester Blackheart City. You know, I've never heard that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I would be totally entertained by it. Please.
I'm for it already.
No, man. It's look, I think in general, with everything that's going on with the Black Lives Matter movement, it's kind of making people focus on, like, what these biases are.
Yeah, not so-called Andrew, but the FBL players Facebook group chat was leaked by ... Rebecca Vardy. Don't get sued out there, Andrew.
Okay, we got lawyers in the chat. Okay?
Here's my lawyer. Oh, my God. That's why.
Okay, Alexis, you want to bring up the next subject?
Yeah, speaking of champions and money that they're getting and or not getting, Liverpool. So apparently the purse for winning Champions League, I'm not talking about Oh My God Dies purse, which is beautiful, huge, but beautiful. I'm talking about what you get for winning the Champions League. Sorry, for winning the Premier League. They've talked about sort of deducting money out of that for the spot for the TV rights, because the TV rights has rebates attached to the fact that which I don't understand completely, because like I would assume more people are watching soccer in England right now than prior. Maybe it's the sponsorships. Maybe they just can't get the sponsorships. But there's money that's going to be deducted from that. They've decided to grow across the board, so Liverpool still gets their $175 million payout. Now, why I think this is impressive or important is because that's not that much more money than what you get for being relegated.
Yeah, but right. Yeah, yeah.
Which if you're, again, this is my Nork brain, I'm like, yo, Liverpool probably spent a lot of money on players, right? All I got to do is get promoted by a bunch of bum-ass players, still get relegated, but cake up. You know what I mean? My profits is going to be bigger than your profits, because you spent more than $175, but I spent $38 on these players. So like, I get to keep a lot more.
I got my cousin Maurice out there, okay?
Yo, Maurice, you good? He's like, I can't play 90. All right, baby, you ain't gold.
You know, that's why you a hero to all these people.
That's why they chant in your name. There's no one here. No, we're going to have it on loop. I took care of it in post.
Nixter Nipple said, Alexis, are you Stan Kroenke? Yeah.
Yo, you know what? I got to be honest. I hate the guy, but I kind of get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, business.
Alexis for GM of Newark Athletic FC says Felix Blatt. Look, all I'm saying is there's a significant part of my brain that's prepared for a jug, a hustle, if you will. And every once in a while, when I see Liverpool getting $175 million, the loser got, let me look up how much the loser got. I think they got like $160.
Oh, I don't know. It's the parachute payment, right? What's that amount?
How much is it?
Because and I'm sure it changes every year, right? It probably fluctuates. Let us know if somebody is aware.
Because I don't know how much it is, but I do know it's over like 150. Because I jokingly said 154 million, and I don't think I was that far off. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I'm fine. You know, if you want to win, go for it. But if you can make as much money, if not more, losing.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people will be mad. Trust me.
Yeah, but it's business.
But you'll
here's
make less money the following year. That is the point.
Nah, but here's the thing. you spend some of that money to win the championship, which is much cheaper than winning the Premier League. Then you go back up again. Everyone feels good about themselves, right? We got a couple parades. We lose horrifically. We come right back down. We do that three or four times. Next thing you know, I got more money than like PSG.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Just balance the books.
Right?
Yeah. Meaning way more money is in my pocket than anyone else's.
The books is balanced, my G.
Okay, so I wanted to get to a question that was in from Crimson Pizza, which is great. This is says a legit Premier League question. The teams just voted not to continue using five subs for the upcoming season. How do you guys feel about increasing five subs? We've had this conversation. I am anti five subs. Alexis is pro five subs.
Very pro five subs.
And I am quite happy that the Premier League voted to not keep the five subs. How do you feel about it, Alexis?
I'm upset that they voted not to keep it because I think other leagues will. And I think, again, it just shows it gives you an opportunity for the youth players. It shows for more tactical changes. I think three subs is fine. The idea of let's just meet in the middle and do four. It's like, no, either do the five or don't. So I'm happy they did. They decided not to. But I still think five subs. We saw in plain sight. We saw it with our own eyes that it worked and it worked well. So why remove it?
Yeah, it just especially in a.
Did you not think it worked well? Just in the situation that it was
from,
in.
From the circumstances that we were in with the lockdown and the long layoff, you understand it was useful and it was helpful at the time. Even still, it's still helpful. But I think when it comes to any kind of parity, especially in the Premier League where you have these just super clubs compared to the teams that are in like the bottom five, you can't have it's too much of an imbalance. That you can Manchester City having two extra unbelievable players to be able to bring on is too much of an advantage when you're playing, you know, the Bournemouths, the Watfords and stuff like that. So I can understand why the majority of the Premier League clubs probably would not want that. Maybe in other leagues like in MLS, I think it probably wouldn't matter, but it wouldn't be that big a deal. But there's certain leagues that it provides too much of an advantage for certain teams.
So, okay, I was off by a little bit, right? We're hearing in the chat that parachute payments are $48 million over 4 years.
Pounds, 40 million
48
pounds.
Million pounds, yeah. So what's that, about like $55 million, something like that? Look, at the end of the day, if you spent no money, if you took your team from the championship.
Why are you still on?
I'm just
you're
making
just trying
sure.
To make, what do you make? You're trying to make like $6 across this.
No, if you spend no money, you get $48 million. I bet you Liverpool is not netting $48 million out of that $175. I guarantee you they're not.
Oh, I love PDFC said, Alexis is true to form. Of course, five sub sandwiches are better than three sub sandwiches, right?
I mean, what do you want me to starve for 2 days in the week?
Okay, yeah. So, and then referring to the subs, the Crimson Pizza said, I was on Christian's side before and switched after seeing it, but I see why you're saying Christian. Well argued. Thank you for the.
Don't give him credit for good arguing. I'm here.
Proper argument, Crimson Pizza. Appreciate
it. I'm here.
Always having a proper debate with a pizza. what do we got next? So this was some research that we had seen from Free Super Tips. Says reveals that teams that finish second in the second tier, obviously the championship, tend to have longer stays in the top division. Since the playoffs began in 1987, you have playoffs, England, deal with it. Teams promoted in second place will spend an average of 5 years in the top flight, which is longer than any other method of promotion. So
in other words, if you finish first, odds are you won't spend as long as if you finish second, which you have to win a playoff to finish second.
Yeah.
So in other words, they're saying West Brom.
First and second are automatically promoted. Third is playoff.
Are you sure?
I'm almost sure, right? I feel like that's correct. The third team is the team that is the playoff team.
Okay.
It's referencing.
Regardless. Regardless, West Brom is the odds are they'll spend 5 years in the Premier League, which nobody wants to see. I'm sorry. West Brom might be the most boring overall. I'm not talking about their style of play. Just like when you think of a club, I get bored when I think of West Brom. I immediately picture a defender huffing a ball up to a name that you haven't heard of in a few years that is pushing back on a defender hoping to get his head on a ball.
Who is the striker from West Brom that was in the Prem for a long time?
Odem Wingie?
No. Is he still there? Wasn't he there? He was in the Premier League. The Venezuelan guy. Remember the Venezuelan? What's his name?
I don't. Not Palacios.
No. I forgot his name. But whatever. West Brom. Solomon Rondon. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Rondon.
Is he still there? Is he still with the team?
I doubt it.
But
nonetheless, they're going to do better than Leeds, supposedly.
I think
free super tips might not be the best place to get information from, because I don't know. There's something about Leeds that just feels like they're going to stay in the Premier League for a very long time.
It feels like Bielsa is a little bit of a different manager and will be able to keep the team up. And not only do I think the team can stay up, but I do think they can do pretty well. I'm a little bit optimistic. Maybe that's my Jack Harrison bias. I don't know.
Colo Blanco said West Bromwich Albion. What a name that makes you mad for no reason. It does, right? Like, you can't say West Bromwich Albion without a yawn. Like, either you yawn while you're saying it or someone in your general vicinity will yawn.
And Solomon Rondon went to China. So, okay, now if you know that. Yeah.
By the way, you talked about Bielsa's going to keep him up. Son, he hasn't signed his contract.
I mean... Whatever, he's just pulling a Borussia Dortmund, you know. He'll get it.
He's not asking for more money.
Oh, you think they don't want him as the
coach? He offered. He just hasn't. He's taking the offer. He hasn't countered. He just hasn't signed it yet. And when asked about it, he said he wants to enjoy the feeling of victory a little more. He thinks, to him, it's like once he signs the contract, starts the preparation for next season.
Oh.
Versus, yeah, but bro, you ain't got that much time.
So he's like, right now, I ain't got no job. Okay?
Yeah, I'm enjoying family. I'm on vacacion.
Okay. He's like, I'm going to collect unemployment insurance for a little bit, you know, kind of just figure who I am out. Little eat, pray, Bielsa. Okay.
You know, I haven't been single. Maybe I need to date myself for a while, you know?
I saw
the season starts in 2 weeks.
So Jack Harrison gave an interview for Leeds after he signed his next loan agreement. So he will be with Leeds for another year. Obviously, he's still a Manchester City player. I was watching this video. Maybe I'll put it in the link later. I'm just so happy for him. I'm so happy for Jack Harrison. Obviously, he played for NYCFC, but he is so he's kept mentioning about how he worked his whole life to get to the Premier League. And he left England. He was in the Manchester United Academy, came to the U.S. To kind of focus on schooling, and went to college, got drafted, and ended up living his dream. It's really unbelievable. It's so cool. To make that move for an English player to come to MLS and then still make it to the Premier League, and earned his way through the championship. It's so, so awesome.
Yeah, he wasn't handed anything. I mean, he came to the U.S. He went to a school that's known for soccer, but he played his ass off, got into a good college, got drafted into the MLS. He wasn't one of the generation Adidas or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kid did his thing. So, and we named a burger after him, and we presented him that burger, and he had a great time, and we love his mom. His mom's amazing.
Yeah.
Sounded like I was being disrespectful. We know his mom.
Aussie AB says, real shame that Harrison won't be able to play against City when Leeds plays them. Yeah, those are the rules.
Do you know the genius that is Leeds with this contract?
No, I don't know.
They have the option to buy him this year for $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
They could loan him out again, but then next year they'd have to buy him for $10 million.
Ooh. Right?
So they decided to loan him again because let's say he's not up to snuff in the Premier League. They just saved all that money. And if not, now they have an $8 million player that they can't do anything with.
Yeah.
So they're like, fine, I'll pay a little more. It's worth $2 million extra dollars to find out if he's good enough to play in the Prem, which is like, that's like this is not the leads that everyone talked about when they were just out splashing money like a rapper, you know, on vacation. This is like you smart, sensible leads.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about that for a little bit. How do you think Jack Harrison will fare in the Premier League?
Because he's in Bielsa's system, and he played, what, 77 straight matches?
Some of it, yeah. He's played a lot.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's like insane, right? Because of that, I think he's going to do well. Because Bielsa's system is something that other teams have to adjust to.
Yeah.
Right?
He's very meticulous, right? He's very detailed. He's like a game tape. He's very if you watch, it's from Leeds United put out the interview with Jack, and he kind of talked about Bielsa a little bit and just how Bielsa literally, I think he before every match, he will sit down with each individual player and go over game tape that and things that he wants them to work on, which I don't think that doesn't sound like a thing most managers do.
I know Unai Emery wasn't doing that.
So, look, I'm absolutely stoked, and on a personal level, like we did a live.
We feel somewhat invested in Jack Harrison's career.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure after hearing these numbers and what he'll be sold for, if he ever does get sold. I'm sure we know his agent. So his agent's like, oh boy, I really would love to.
I wonder if that's still his agent. You think so?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right.
No, it's great.
He's
great.
Like, no, this is, you guys going to wait a year? All right. He's like, honey, don't get the boat just yet.
That will be exciting. So the what else is...
Do we think about Anthony Robinson? This comes from Next Door Nipple. What do we think about Anthony Robinson being the second strong left wing back for Sheffield? Which, you know, if you're on the national team, you got to be getting minutes. So do we want a second string? He meant second string, not strong. Do we want a second string left wing back if you're a national team player? Nah, but Sheffield's a great club. So,
I mean, yeah, he'll be in the Prem. He'll get some minutes. Maybe he'll be like a FA Cup guy. But no, obviously not a great scenario. And Anthony Robinson, wasn't he supposed to go? Was he go to Inter Milan or AC Milan? Where was he was supposed to go? There was like some move, but he flew there, and then something happened. I forgot the story.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. But AC Milan.
Yeah.
And PDFC said you could fight your way into minutes. And that's good. You want to be a part of the competition. I'm just saying, I think it would be better if you want to make your way. Look, if he does fight his way to the starting position and he's getting that, then certainly he's probably going to get very seriously looked at for the men's national team. And also, it's not like we have a ton of left wing backs or left fullbacks. I mean, we just don't have it. So he's gonna get those chances. Yeah. I would just love to see. That's right. He had a heart issue. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was really a huge bummer, especially for like American soccer fans. You know, to see an American player move to a big club like that. It was disappointing. I'm sure it was disappointing for him. I'm hoping he gets a shot at Sheffield. Look, the dude, I'm happy he has a job, right? He's going to generally be okay. He's still very young.
Hey, Calvin, you got a job. It's one of my favorite sketches from Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? When he gets the job at McDonald's, everyone's like, good job, Calvin.
Yes.
Go. Right. And then was it Marina Franklin? It's like, damn, you smell like French fries.
That's the best. I remember when I one of the first shows I did at New York Comedy Club, and Marina Franklin was there. And I was like, yo, she's from Chappelle. Like, I was so starstruck. And like, she had like a 2 second line in Chappelle's show, but that to me, that like blew my mind.
That's the first time I met Christian Finnegan. I was like, yo, remember when Lysol fucked your girl in the sketch? And he's like, yes.
Yes. There might be some people here who don't know that we're stand-up comedians. So we're stand-up comedians, if you don't know that, in New York.
Like, we're good. We're really good stand-up professionals.
Look, you've been laughing throughout this thing, but we just do that on stage in front of people. We actually hold the microphone like this.
Right. Okay? This one you can't hold, but like, imagine my hand was like right here. I was just walking about the stage.
Envision it. Okay. So the last thing I saw that you posted here was something Canadian Premier League related.
That'd be hilarious. Actually, Canadian Premier League, which I have to bring up. I kind of already brought them up, but they're having a tournament.
Okay.
It's on an island. It's called the Island Games. I'm not making any of this up. Oh, it's the last thing you thought when you think Canadian is Island Games.
Is this the same thing as like Fight Island in UFC or what?
Kind of. There's an island called Prince Edward Island that all the clubs are in, and they're going to play a tournament. It pretty much exactly like MLS is back. So it's a Premier League show. We love bringing up Canadian Premier League at least once or twice.
I'm glad it's not at Prince Albert Island. Am I right, folks?
I mean, we told you we were professional comedians, and I apologize for lying.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, that should be interesting. So their bubble, instead of a bubble, they're doing an island.
They're doing an island. But, yo, I looked it up. In order to watch this, you have to download something called One Soccer. It's $69.99 a year. Family, chill. That's how much it costs to go to an island right now. It's a flight.
You know, healthcare is free, so they have to recoup their money somewhere else in soccer fees.
Damn, son. I mean, if I knew this was going towards testing, I would pay it, but you need to chill.
It's called the Prem Show, but we didn't say which Premier League, okay?
That's right. So, the Canadian Prem League also gets in this.
I think we're all out of topics for today.
If you guys have any questions, hit us up in the chat. You know, we got a little bit more time before we want to say goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Well, I should mention, Rebels, they bought Brentford midfielder Drew Yearwood, that I saw Rebels announce that. And they loaned I think it was a loan for the RB Salzburg player, but I could be wrong. So they're making some moves. Also, Alex Mule from the New York Rebels was traded to Nashville.
To Nashville, that's right. We'll talk about that on like our regular show.
On our Fubo TV show. So feel free to check that out.
Oh, we got a question in regards to the Premier League, the Canadian Premier League. Hammered Hamster wants to know, what is Alexis Sanchez getting over there? Probably soon, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. They just got to, nullify that deal at Inter and get things and really move his career upward because it's... Yeah.
Which one of you European-based superstars is going to not be the coward and move over to the Canadian Premier League and be the Beckham of the Canadian Premier League?
So-called Andrew said, didn't even mention the Russian Premier League, SMH. Damn.
Which, by the way, the Russian Premier League is now on Fubo Sports Network, the same network that carries our television show.
Crazy, huh?
Might actually start talking about the Russian Premier League since we can show highlights.
Nick's Third Nipple said, how do I catch the Fubo show if I don't have Fubo? All you got to do is go to FuboSportsNetwork.com and that's free. Right. The channel's always on. Obviously with Fubo TV, then you can do like DVR and stuff like that, but any of the channels. But you can, if you just want to catch our show live, it's always on. Isn't that great? It's weird to like be scrolling channels and then see yourself. It's pretty weird.
It's not weird, and I stop every time. It's my Goodfellas. I stop every time and I finish watching it. What Aussie Ab wants to know, Pirlo is a coach. Who next from NYCFC? That's right. Lampard is a coach. Pirlo is a coach. Who next from NYCFC?
Kyrie Shelton.
That's right, yo. He's going to be a striker's coach. You don't have to score every time. Right? It's just a lot. Honestly, it's a lot. No, I think it's going to be Mehdi Bellucci. You remember him?
Yeah.
He's an assistant. I feel like he's going to be the next one.
He's the academy coach. I could see that. People say Ned Grabavoy.
Oh, boy. Some of the old names. That's right. PDFC says Pluto TV has Fubo Sports Network as well. That's right. In fact, I think there's a way where you could download Fubo TV, and if you don't pay, you only get Fubo Sports Network. I think that works.
I don't know.
But you don't get any of the
one
additions.
Of Alexis's hustles of stealing cable or something. He's going to try to figure out.
Dude, you know what? I know a guy, honestly.
Okay. I know a programmer. All right. all right, everybody. Thanks again for hanging out. Thanks if you're listening to the podcast. Thanks for listening to another Prem Show. Again, this show is taped right on Twitch live, and we're taping them every Wednesday. So yeah, tune in twitch.tv/soccercooligans. Thank you to everyone who helped us get to 400 followers. We're going for 500, and we'll be on Twitch more, doing a bunch of other stuff.
We're at 410, which is a real shame based on what we were talking about before we started recording, that we didn't hit 420.
What could we
have possibly been talking about?
Shouts to the chat on Twitch, the best chat on this website, to be honest.
Yo, you know what, though? It's true, because I've watched other streamers, and while they get thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, yo, they chats be mad corny.
Okay, we...
Our shit ain't corny at all. They're always like, why don't you trade this player for that player? I gotta go. My mother made me another sandwich that she cut the crust off of. Not our chat, yo. Our chat's out here doing callbacks, mm-hmm. being funnier than most of the things we
making
say.
Making fun of my teenage foot coach. Damn, bro. Never letting that down.
Slightly illegal relationship he has with his foot coach. And by the way, foot is F-U-T.
I ain't changing the name. Leave me alone.
It's a foot coach, because if you say foot, be like, yo, what kind of weird fetish is Christian into? He's on wicked feet.
Oh, man. Did Christian get enough sleep last night? I did not get enough sleep last night. I was so tired.
You do got yellow bags under your eyes. You'd have to check them. They're too big for carry-ons.
So, yes, everybody, thank you again. Follow us on Twitch. Follow us on all social media at Soccer Cooligans. A lot to look forward to. Obviously, tomorrow... which is today, if you're listening to the podcast, we have Gianluca Busio of Sporting Kansas City on the show. So tune into that. That's on Fubo Sports Network at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So you can go to FuboSportsNetwork.com or watch on Fubo TV on a bunch of other platforms. Yeah, people were mentioning Pluto TV on Roku, a ton of other stuff. So, and
shouts to Gully Squad. Thank you so much for being in the chat. We see y'all, Gully Squad. Go ahead and throw those gully emojis in there. Shouts to you guys. And don't forget, join Gully Squad if you'd like to. You see it right there. Shouts2us.com. Just go to that. You can join Gully Squad, be a part of the group. Get in the Slack channel, which is crazy. Gully Squad is designing their own Gully Squad kit. It's so fire right now.
It's beautiful.
Felix Palau made a really dope design. There's a bunch of cool stuff happening in there. So I really love the way that's going. So
yeah
also, there's some really, really cool shit
happening
in Gully Squad.
We're also
going to
be doing we haven't even mentioned it's a Gully Squad yet, but this month is the 5-year anniversary of the Cooligans existence. So we're going to be doing a Zoom call with everybody, and it'll just be a really fun thing. Everybody gets to hang out and reconnect. Obviously, we can't see people in person, but it's we want to stay connected to everybody, so we're going to be doing that. All right, everybody, so thank you again for tuning in. Thank you to everybody on Twitch. The chat are basically our detention. The bad kids are in this chat, so that's those are the Cooligans fans.
Not so cool. Andrew said, yo, I have done nothing with my life in 5 years. That's right, he has a day one. Weird way to say that, but go for it. Also, Nixter Nipple said, I stole cable for 3 years, could only watch Canadian Premier League games and Spanish telenovelas. We told you we got callbacks in here.
We love all of y'all. All right, so with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!